I was standing in the middle of a fluorescent-lit warehouse in Etobicoke, holding a handheld scanner like it was a holy relic, when the manager told me I was moving too slow. He didn't use my name. He just looked at the stack of boxes, plastic bins filled with seasonal garden hoses, and then at his watch. He told me that in Canada, we value efficiency. I wanted to tell him that in Zurich, I valued the precision of subatomic particles, but I just gripped the plastic grip of the scanner until my knuckles turned the color of bone. He doesn't know that I'm counting the flickering frequency of the overhead lights to keep from screaming. I can tell you exactly why the third bulb from the left is failing. I can calculate the decay, the resistance, the inevitable darkness. But here, I am just a woman who cannot scan a barcode fast enough to satisfy a man who hasn't read a book since high school. There is a small, heavy object wrapped in a silk scarf at the bottom of my backpack, tucked into a side pocket I never zip all the way shut. It is a brass calibration weight from my laboratory in Switzerland, a perfect 50-gram cylinder. It is useless here. It serves no purpose in a warehouse or a basement apartment. Yet I carry it every day like a talisman, a piece of a world where gravity was the only thing holding me down, not the polite, smiling cruelty of Canadian experience. I don't know why I haven't thrown it into Lake Ontario yet. Maybe I'm waiting for the day I finally stop feeling its weight against my hip. I am 39 years old. I have a PhD in physics from the University of Zurich. I have published papers on quantum field theory that people in my field still cite. But in this warehouse, and in the 36 retail offices I've walked into since arriving in Toronto, I am just a woman with a gap in her resume. The phrase lack of Canadian experience is a deadbolt. It is a soft, cushioned wall that you run into at full speed. They don't tell you no because you are black or because you are Somali. They tell you no because you haven't worked in a cubicle within a 50-mile radius of the CN Tower. As if the laws of physics change when you cross the border at Niagara Falls. As if the math of the universe requires a specific knowledge of Tim Hortons to be valid. The smell of the warehouse is a mix of stale cardboard and a heavy industrial floor wax that catches in the back of my throat. It's the smell of my new life. I walk into a boutique tech firm last Tuesday. I am not even applying for a research position. I am applying for a junior data analyst role. I have mastered Python, R, and C++ out of necessity. The recruiter is a woman in her late 20s with a high ponytail and a smile that doesn't reach her eyes. She glances at my resume for exactly 4 seconds before her eyes snag on the University of Zurich line. She pauses. She taps a gold ring against the glass of her desk. Tap, tap, tap. The sound is a metronome for my fading patience. Impressive, she says. But we really need someone who understands the local context. Have you considered something in retail? Just to get your feet wet? I look at her hands. I look at the glass desk. I think about the sheer amount of energy required to shatter that glass. I think about the molecular structure of her ring. I wonder if she knows that her local context is a polite way of saying she doesn't trust the shape of my tongue or the history of my skin. I thank her for her time. I walk out into the biting Toronto wind, the kind of cold that feels personal, and I go to the grocery store to buy the cheap milk, the one in the bag that you have to struggle to pour. If you are listening to this and you think this is a story about a woman who just needs to work harder, you aren't paying attention. This is a story about the systematic waste of human potential. It is about a country that begs for the brightest minds in the world and then asks them to mop the floors of the buildings they should be designing. I am trying to protect my son's belief that this was a good idea. He is 7. He thinks I'm a logistics expert because I work in a warehouse. He tells his friends at school that his Huyo helps manage the world's supplies. I can't tell him that I spend 8 hours a day making sure garden hoses are facing the right way in a plastic bin. I cannot admit to him, or to my husband, that I have started to forget the equations. In the break room, the vending machine hums with a low, aggressive vibration. I close my eyes and try to derive the Schrödinger equation in my head. Last week, I got stuck halfway through. I stared at the bags of salt and vinegar chips and realized I couldn't remember the exact Hamiltonian operator for a particle in a box. I felt a surge of panic that was more visceral than the fear I felt leaving Mogadishu. If the math goes, I am truly just a woman in a safety vest. The trap isn't just the lack of work. It's the specific type of work they offer. If I stay in the warehouse, my resume becomes Canadianized as a laborer, The longer I stay, the more the PhD looks like a hallucination or a lie. But if I quit to study or network, we don't eat. I see a man at the library on Sunday. He was a neurosurgeon back home. Here, he's a security guard at a mall. We don't talk about work. We talk about the weather. We talk about how the snow in Canada isn't like the snow in the movies. It's gray and slushy, and it ruins your shoes. We both look at our shoes. Mine are salt-stained and cracking at the seams. He tells me that the hardest part isn't the job. It's the silence. The way people look through you because you're wearing a uniform. You become part of the architecture, a human-shaped piece of furniture that ensures the smooth flow of commerce. The practical consequence of speaking up is being labeled difficult or overqualified. If I tell the manager at the warehouse that I find the work beneath my cognitive abilities, I lose the paycheck. If I tell the recruiters that their Canadian experience requirement is a proxy for something else, they just smile and file my resume in the trash. So I stay silent. The consequence of that is the slow erosion of my soul. I stand at the bus stop tonight, watching the 26 skyline of Toronto glow in the distance. The CN Tower is a needle. I feel like a ghost haunting my own life. I am a doctor of the universe's fundamental truths, but in this country, I am a woman who cannot be trusted to file a report without local supervision. I get home, and my son is already asleep. I sat on the edge of his bed and looked at his small, peaceful face. He doesn't know about the warehouse manager. He doesn't know about the lack of experience. He just knows that Huyo is home. I went to the nightstand and pulled out the bottom drawer. I reached under the drawings and felt the heavy cream-colored paper of my degree. I didn't pull it out. I just held the corner of it. I take the brass weight out of my bag and set it on the nightstand. It catches the dim light of the street lamp outside. 50 grams of pure, unyielding reality. It is the only thing in this room that knows exactly what it is. It doesn't need Canadian experience to have mass. It doesn't need a recruiter's permission to exist. I look at it and I realize that the trap isn't the warehouse. The trap is the belief that I need their validation to be what I already am. But knowing that doesn't pay the rent. Knowing that doesn't put my son through university. What is a woman worth if the world refuses to see what she can do? Is a PhD if it never leaves the drawer? Is this country truly a land of opportunity? Or is it a giant processing plant for cheap, overqualified labor designed to keep the machine running on the backs of the desperate? Did Canada fail me by letting me in without a plan for my skills? Or did I fail myself by believing the promise of a fresh start was anything more than a marketing campaign?